Hello innovators and welcome back to another episode of the Human Innovation Podcast, the Jens Heitland Show, where I connect the dots of leadership and innovation. And today I will bring an episode from Succeed, which is my startup, where I interview leaders from around the world into the podcast. The format is called Succeed Leadership Chat. In this episode, I will bring back Ricardo Rosa, who joined me already on this podcast for episode number 154. So if you're interested in more details about him, because we will not cover his whole story, go back to episode number 154. In this episode, we go deeper into his leadership style, what he loves about leading people, how he engages with his teams, what he learned in his career, and as well, how he would like to be led. Please enjoy the conversation with Ricardo Rosa. Hello, Ricardo. How are you doing? Great to have you.
Hi, Jens. So well. I'm very, very, very happy to be here.
Looking forward to learn more about your leadership journey in our new format, that's the Leadership Chat. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you and what do you do in your profession?
I'm the head of innovation of Sonaisierre. Sonaisierre is a real estate company. We develop and manage big real estate projects, mainly shopping centers, but not just that. And we do it in a lot of different countries. We do it in Europe, we do it in South America, we do it in Northern Africa. We're in a lot of places. My role is to set the innovation agenda, first and foremost, is to decide where the company should go in terms of innovation. And also then, of course, to drive it using all resources that we can and bringing the organization towards that objective.
How many people do you have in your team connected to you as the leader?
Directly, I have four people that are part of this team with different levels of experience, of course, which is the direct team. And then you have, as an innovation leader, the point of leadership over a lot of areas of the organization. And then you can count as many as you want. But directly, I have four people reporting into me.
If I would ask your team members right now, how would they explain that you are a leader? In which way do you lead them?
I think that the first thing is about vision. At least I hope that they would go this direction. And I think it's the right verb. I believe that they would mention vision as the number one thing, setting a vision towards where we want to go as a team. And that's the number one thing that I think they would recognize on my leadership. Then I think they would say that I'm quite a hands-off boss, which is indeed my way of managing. I'm not a micromanager in any way. I hate to be micromanaged, therefore I don't micromanage. I give a lot of freedom, but also then responsibility that comes with that freedom. I've been described by them as someone that gets tough when he has to get tough, but generally is quite easygoing, quite constructive. I build teams that have a very friendly atmosphere because I think it's really important that we have that in our everyday life in work.
And I guess specifically when you work in the field of innovation, that's even more important to be in that friendly environment, I guess.
Yeah, it has to be highly collaborative. I mean, if I was doing anything else, if I was doing finance, I would still believe in it. Okay, I'm trying to use the example that's more maybe further away, but I would still believe in the value of having a collaborative atmosphere. But you're absolutely right. When we're talking about innovation, this is key because we're experimenting all the time. We're failing a lot because that's the way to do it. So you cannot be like the guy that says, how could this happen? That's unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. That makes no sense. It's not me personally. And I don't believe it should be me as a manager. It should be anyone managing a role in innovation.
You have already a lot of experience as a manager and a huge career track record. If you would start all over again and imagine you start into your first leadership role again, what would you do differently?
Well, that's actually probably the easiest question. It's something that I thought a lot that I should have done in the past and I didn't. And now it's not so logical, but I would have found me a true mentor, which I didn't. And I didn't not because it was impossible or anything like that, but because maybe I was a bit cocky coming out of college and all of that. And I knew what I was doing, all of that kind of thing. But right now I recognize that I could have taken more value by having a true mentor, someone that was not my boss in any way. I've taken a lot of value from a lot of people who I've worked with over the years, but I think I would have been more decisive in looking for an opportunity like that. I didn't do it. the time, and I kind of regret it. I'm not one to regret a lot. I don't dwell too much on regrets, but I do regret that because I think that it would have been helpful. Having been through a lot of stuff now in my career, I kind of understand that people that have gone through a lot of stuff as well can help and can kind of put some things in perspective that sometimes are not as easy. And if they don't have a direct professional relationship with you, it helps immensely because you have a lot of these conversations, but they tend to be with people that are in the same organization. Maybe they're your boss or they used to be your boss and it's too close. And in this situation, I think there was something to be gained.
Yeah, agree. I've had the pleasure of having a mentor and it's so helpful. Someone who has a different perspective, you don't report to that person. That was important for me as well. And so they're sometimes like, hey, Jens, are you sure with that perspective? Wake up again. So someone who is, one part is pushing you a little bit and the other part is supporting you with the knowledge they have. If we go into you as a leader, how did you learn when you started your career to be a leader? Did you have any specific training? How did you do that?
I was part of a lot of big organizations growing up as a manager. And I used to do marketing before this. I used to work for FMCG. So I worked for companies like P&G, Unilever. And when you work for those companies, one of the good things that they have is structure. And structure means that if you are in some kind of fast track, because you're identified as high potential very early on, that kind of thing, which tend to happen sometimes in my career, that means that you get exposed to some opportunities on leadership, which can be a lot of different things. It's more on anything connected to soft skills, because these organizations have such a strong background on trying to create a culture and all of that. So you kind of get exposed through that. So yes, I've had some formal opportunities. Later on, I think that, to be honest, and I think it's a little bit out of fashion, but I would say that from a leadership perspective, doing an MBA is a fantastic experience. I loved it. And it really helps on that. You kind of don't feel it while you're in there, but when you come out, you're different in a better way, which I think it helps. But then I think that I've learned so much from the people that I've worked with, for good and bad. If I can have a recommendation from day one, is to be very attentive, to observe a lot. And you don't even need to be aligned with whatever trend it is. If you see some traits in leadership on people around you, some that you want to replicate because they resonate well with you, you feel that they're right for you, and some that do not. There are trade-offs. You can find people that are jerks, and because they're jerks, they seem to be doing well. And this irks you in the wrong way, if you know what I mean. This happens in every organization. I mean, we've all been there. And you kind of think, look, I don't want to be that. Do I have to be that to have a career? So you kind of have to observe, learn from people around you. And I've done that a lot over the years. And that, I think, is regardless of all the formal opportunities, the informal opportunities are what make or break you as a leader. That's what really transform you as time goes by, because you kind of feel that, look, that worked and resonates with you. I think it's the two things. You need to see it in action, how people lead others and how others can be really inspired and really work towards the same objective, which is something that is elusive, but it's beautiful when really happens. It's not easy. It doesn't happen every time, but when it does, it's beautiful. So it has to work, as I was saying, but at the same time, it has to feel right to you, to your personality. I don't believe on being one person outside the office and another one inside the office. I truly do not believe that. I think if you fake it, you won't make it. If I can rewrite that expression.
I love that. I would love to circle back to the MBA. So you said you basically came out as a different person. Was it a lot of you discovering yourself in that MBA, or how was that?
I think that you try not to be during the years as you grow as a person and as a manager. You try not to be too enclosed in the reality of your work, your industry, your colleagues, your country, or your world region, depending on the reality, might be a little bigger than country or not. But you kind of get a bit encircled by that. One of the things that I believe was very important on how I grew as a leader was that I changed organizations quite a lot when I was younger. And I don't see that as a bad thing. I remember people telling me on like job interviews, oh, but you changed a lot, blah, 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 which was less usual at the time. I think it's actually quite good. It opens your mind. But there are limitations to this. So I think that it was somehow a personal discovery. Yes, it sounds a bit too grandiose, a bit cheesy, but it's true. You kind of rethink about yourself in connection with people that are really different. And I mean really different, completely different life experiences. And that really kind of changes the way you think about some stuff. It's not that you're going to have a new theory on how to manage. Sure, you're going to be taught 20,000 different theories on everything. Great. But more and more, I don't think it is the formal part of it or the theoretical part of it, but it's the interaction, the diversity, which again sounds like a huge buzzword, but it's so true. You're going to have diversity around you. And I think that at that experience, that to me changed a lot.
I agree. I've seen it with myself as well. When I was doing an education, just the perspective of the other people, for me, it was similar, like in your case. They're completely different. They come from a different industry, from a different background. And then you see the world through their eyes, where it's like, how did you get to that opinion?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You kind of think, I would never reach that conclusion. Why do you reach it? But then you start talk about, because everybody's very friendly. Yeah. And even now, even if you think bigger things, I had colleagues and friends, they are friends now who are Russian, for instance. So you kind of, during these tough times, you get into discussions that are really enriching because it's not the same thing as discussing with the rest of Western Europe what's happening over there. It's different. It doesn't change the end result on what I believe, but you really think about, wait, how can you look at this from this angle? It's really, really, really something that makes you grow.
Yeah. And I think that's also a brilliant leadership skill, especially for you. You mentioned in your introduction, you work with different cultures, different country cultures. That also requires you most probably to be different and lead people in different ways, communicate in different ways.
Absolutely. Geography, it's still such a big determinant of how you're going to find it. I found you have two choices on this situation. As a context, I'm part of the Sunai Group. Sunai Group is the biggest private employer in Portugal. So when I talk with people in other countries, we are the central country, meaning we represent the headquarters.
Yeah.
Again, going back to what I was saying, you have two choices. You can come in as saying, look, so this is what we're thinking at headquarters. This is a Portuguese organization. So let's do it this way, which I found when I was on the receiving end, and I was on the receiving end from a lot of multinationals, receiving that from everywhere across the world, because I worked, as I said, in companies that were not Portuguese, like American, French, English, whatever. I've had a lot of experience like that, and I hated it. So I never do that. I always try, and if I can speak the language, even if it's not as great, I try to do local language. I know my English is better than my Spanish, but I do Spanish whenever I can. I write emails in Spanish to the Spanish team. I do it in Italian to the Italian team. But even if I don't do the language, I mean, most of the questions when I go to Romania, which is a country I didn't know before starting this role or before working for this company, I always try to understand why, explain to me why this is this way. And that is this flexibility, this ability to adapt to the other side is critical as a leadership skill to get anywhere. Because again, it can take you a little bit of the way, but it falls short. In my experience, it truly falls short. Because if people are not really following you, but are being pulled by force, it's just, you won't get anywhere. In the end, you really will not.
If we use that to the next question, what and who helped you to refine your leadership style over time?
Definitely, I can think about two or three former direct managers that I have. None of them, I would say, I would replicate exactly, because I also don't believe in copy-paste. But as I said before, there are two or three managers along my career where I'd say, look, I'll take this and this from you in a good way, in a good sense, because I truly see something that I didn't do as well that helps in reaching the objectives that we want. So I think that people that have helped me along the way, I would say definitely some of my previous managers, my wife, I truly would. If I would give an advice on that, marry someone that challenges you. Sometimes it's very tough. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's something that helps you grow a lot. And I think that's one of the other things, because you get out of here, you get out of the office or the home office or whatever it is these days, and you kind of get challenged on other directions and why this, why not that. So I think that's also another driver. And then just what happens in the world. I do look up to some world leaders. I'm not a big reader of biographies, but some I do. Some people I like to understand better. Some you'd say the classics. I did enjoy, like everybody else, reading about Steve Jobs, for instance. Yeah. But I loved reading from Walter Isaacson as well. I loved reading about Benjamin Franklin. I thought it was fantastic because it was a much more playful personality, which is closer to how I see life. Being observant and trying to understand why people, like world leaders or whatever it is, business leaders, act the way they do, to me, is quite interesting. I would say it's not work. It's a bit of fun. Let's put it this way. It is. It is because it's how you try to understand why they do what they do and try to take the best out of it, understanding that there are stuff that doesn't agree with you. And again, don't go for it. If it doesn't speak to you, if it's not you, don't do it. But understand what works and try to adapt it as much as possible to what you know about yourself, which is never everything, but it's something.
Yeah. I like that specifically what you say between the lines is the perspective of different leaders, different exposures to different people, and you pick what is right for you from each and everyone in your whole life. Like you said, from your wife, from friends, most probably, from other leaders, leaders you have had directly connections to, most probably even employees or team members. You always take something and like an innovation, you're developing yourself forward with the insights you gain over time.
That's exactly it. You need to understand what you want to take out and how it fits into you. It's the mix of these two things. You're observant to see what you want to take out, it, again, as a positive, what surprises you. And you're absolutely right. I didn't mention team members, but across the years, I mean, team members have taught me so much. And sometimes you think, yeah, I'm leading this person, but they really have a fantastic view that I hadn't thought about whatever it is.
If we use that over time, specifically with you changing industries and as well changing corporation and companies, how was the demand towards you as a leader changing, moving from company to company and most probably company culture to company culture?
Oh, it changes dramatically because company culture is one of those things, you know, culture trumps strategy. And that's one of the big buzzwords, and it's true. Meaning you can be doing all the right things as a leader in one organization. You transplant it to another one and it's a complete bust because it just doesn't fit with anything, with people, systems, processes, everything, with culture. So it changes a lot. And again, you're back to the point about how flexible you want to be. And it's a difficult balancing act because sometimes your new role is about bringing an organization forwards on a vision that you agree is the right one. And that means working within that culture to bring it forward. But sometimes your role might be to break the culture a little bit, you know, to change it because it's somehow a transformation. And people that work in innovation, you know this as well. Transformation of that organization is an incredibly important part of the job description that is not on the job description. Let's put it this way. But if you don't do it, you don't get anywhere. Because if you did, then it wouldn't be innovation. Because the organization itself would get there. So it's a balancing act. You have to be flexible and adapt to that culture. And that's something that I think is an absolute must, because if you don't, you're going to clash headways and it's not good for anybody. But then you need to be able to know the areas where you don't want to be 100% flexible and just adapt, and where you want to really press on something that, look, I've used to do this way for a reason towards this direction. Just bear with me and try to explain why. Try to bring people in this direction, which, again, as you know, is one of the hardest parts of this job.
If we move towards your leaders, how would you like to be led by your managers?
As I mentioned before, one of the things that I truly hate is to be micromanaged. I hate it in a very personal and intrinsic way. Okay. It's something, thankfully, I haven't had to deal with very much, but it does happen. And it's something that leaves me, as I said, quite irritated. I think it's a fair enough expression, so I don't use something harder or harsher for this occasion. What do I want from a leader? I want, I think, two things. Well, maybe three. I want a sense of direction as well from the top. I'm very quick, in my opinion, to get a sense of the direction that I think that the team should take and the business on the areas that I influence. I don't really need a lot of hands holding for that, but I need a sense of what will fly in the organization from the top. And that's tough sometimes to get. Second, I think I need someone to have your back, because this is a tough role. This is one of those roles that people love it until they have to do it, because it's a role full of failure. It's a role where you get a lot of times the question, look, I've just invested X 100,000 euros on whatever, and I'm seeing no results. How am I seeing no results? How can that be? And you know why? Because you need to test, you need to experiment, you need to push the boundaries. So you need someone to have your back as well, which I think is part of what you're looking for. And then you want someone that has some personal traits that you look up to somehow, that you feel are good personal values that you can connect with, but also that can make you grow personally, seeing how they manage you and other people that might be your peers, tells you a lot about how you can grow with that. So I think that's what I'm looking for, more or less, on leader.
Do you recall any interesting positive or negative experiences you have had from a being led perspective that had transformed you in a way in your career?
If you're being led on discussions that are too prescriptive, it's something that has shown me very early on that I don't want to do that. And that was very early on. I know it's somehow small, but I think it really sets the tone for how then I manage teams and elite teams, is because I see how counterproductive it is. So just going through the motions because somebody's telling you to go through the motions, something that I've seen, felt under my skin, and has transformed me in a way that I knew very early on and very easily that was not something that I wanted to do. Now, I've seen also examples of how people manage very tough situations on political fights, you know, above your pay grade, you know how it is. Maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years ago, I saw it very, very clearly on people that I look up to, that I think are maybe right on those fights, and seeing how they handle those fights is probably something that is positively influencing and made me learn some things about how you manage that, how you try to live with that, how you compartmentalize some things sometimes, because you can't always get what you want. I think that I've learned that a lot, because one of the things you don't expect, I mean, if you think about come out of college and you're starting to work, you don't have a real sense of company politics. Company politics can be ugly sometimes. And so learning how people that I admire have dealt with that has transformed me positively, I think.
I fully agree, and I've seen it as well. I think that specifically now you're in the leadership team of the company, of the group. So you see it now as well from different perspectives, the politics inside of the organization. At least in my experience, you have on every level, you have somehow politics, sometimes bad, sometimes good. But being now in the leadership team, you see it way deeper and how things are playing out, most probably even earlier than others.
Yeah, and translating that into my team is one of the everyday challenges. Because you kind of see some of the, you don't see it all, but you see some of the dynamics that are happening between people, and you understand better why they reach some conclusion, some decision, some whatever. But if you're not living it very frequently and you don't see it, all of those dynamics are difficult to translate to people down the line, which is a challenge. It's a challenge to say we're going this direction because it's important for the company to go in this direction. It's something that I don't like to do just as a very impersonal thing. You know, we need to do this for the company, whatever. I try to bring it more home, down to earth, and what that means really. But you see that there are dynamics between people, be it politics or maybe not even politics, another stuff. Yeah. And how you see moving pieces and trying to explain that and trying to give a good sense of what's happening and what might happen to the teams, it's a challenge. It's something that happens every day.
If you look backwards, how would you describe your leadership career over the last 20 years?
I don't know if it is as a leadership career. I think that now I'm trying to see the best way of answering that question. Well, learning for sure. Like evolving, I think evolving is a better word, quite evolving. I'm one of those people that early on, well, maybe most people are like this, thinks, now I'm going to lead this and that, then I would never have thought that the way I would do it would be exactly like this. Again, I'm not doing anything that's contrary to me. I'm going back to this point because I think it's really important that it fits well with you. But I've evolved a lot. So I think that this evolution is a better word than change, than learn. It's how you evolve by learning with everything around you. Goes back to the point about being observant, goes back to the point about understanding, adapting, flexibility, all of that. But I think that is this sense of evolving. I think I came from a logic of thinking that leadership seems quite easy when you're beginning, and it's quite hard when you have to do it more often, let's put it this way. So I think most people go through this path. And so I think that there's an evolution in how you do it. There's an evolution on how you learn to do it.
Let's get us into the roundup. Is there any leadership course or a development opportunity which you would like to recommend to other people? Something that helped you or something that you have seen?
We've touched some of this. I think that formal is good. Formal gives you a good sense. I don't think it's something that's, when I say formal, I mean more educationally driven opportunities like an MBA is the extreme, but courses that you do, leadership courses, all of that. I think that every time you get an opportunity to do it, go do it. I just came from, I think a couple of weeks ago, from a course on managing difficult conversation. It was literally called Managing Difficult Conversations, which is something that I've done a lot. So you kind of go in saying, yeah, okay, I know what it's going to be, but you learn and it helps. So take all of those opportunities, never miss one if you can. And that's a more formal thing, MBA, all of that. Yes. And then everything that you can do that keeps you observant and looking outside into the world and not just being in your own little space, that's the way you do it. That's what I would recommend. And then the last one, which is people are going to love this one because this is the easy one. Travel like hell. Be in as many places as you can be, but don't go there to just do an Instagram post and leave. Try to speak to people, understand what it is. When you're there, open a couple of web pages, just understanding where they come from, why it's like that. It doesn't have to be like a big drama thing, but understand where you are and why it is the way it is. And that's going to help you immensely. Search for diversity in any way you can.
Can you recommend any book that helped you in your leadership journey?
I mentioned the biography of Ben Franklin. I really loved it. I really thought it was an interesting thing, especially because he's not such a well-known person. Well, he's very well-known, I know, but as a personality, it's not the same thing as when you discussed Steve Jobs or whatever, which is great, not diminishing in any way, but it's something where you get more surprised. So try to find solutions like that. I'm not a fan of 7 ways to do anything or 10 ways or 12 ways or 3 steps to whatever. I honestly am not too prescriptive. I think it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. It has never worked for me. When I started my career, I went directly to the 7 habits of very effective people, which is like people of my age. And I don't know yours, but it was something like a true classic when I started out. And from then on, I truly don't think the X steps to do anything helps. But if you go from angles, try to go for it from an angle that's slightly skewed, like look at one founding father of America, as I was saying, or look at the teams that were on the fight for CRISPR. I loved it as well. I read it very recently, Jennifer Doudna and all of that, which is also from Walter Isaacson. So I'm repeating myself here, but also a good thing because you're coming. I understand zero about genetics. Now I understand a little bit, but it isn't my thing. But it's just a different angle. And so those kind of books, I would recommend. Personally, I'm not a fan of the prescriptive one.
Awesome. Ricardo, thank you very much for taking the time speaking to me and sharing your leadership journey. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.